Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 17th of June, recording at 9:22 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, wasn't this an interesting day? Well, actually, they're all interesting, aren't they? Not so much in the stock market today, but certainly interesting elsewhere, at least for me. But first a bit on stock markets. The usual mixed picture from Asia. I don't like the lead indicators such as Thailand and India, where I have long positions and would which as you know I'm going to hold on to if I get lucky and they run up a lot, which I don't really expect. I would probably lighten my positions, but I'm going to hold because these are core in my pension fund for the most part. And if they were to come down quite a bit, which could easily happen over the next couple of years, I'll buy a good deal more. Now, elsewhere, the Japanese second section index, I should probably post that tomorrow, is testing its previous highs. And that's really quite quite interesting overall. My hunch is it's going to run into some resistance here. But as you know, if I had any, if I were overweight in any developed market, it would be Japan, hands down, runaway choice. Okay, I want to move on though to other areas. Bonds. Those JGBs took another hit in here today. Well, I'm weeping because I took my profit too early on those, and because it was back at a sort of a prior support level, and I was a little twitchy because they'd been choppy overall. But the dynamics were all downwards, as I said at the time, so it was a stupid move. It's oversold in the short term, so I'm not going to chase, especially since the U.S. Treasuries are firm in here today, up 25, 30 seconds on the September futures contract. And so, you know, that had that big upward dynamic 2 days ago, up over two points, and then a little brief small pause and consolidation yesterday and pushing up again today. This is bear covering, no doubt, but there's some shorts in the JGBs now, mainly Western hedge funds, I suspect. So while there may be the gabardine swine run coming in terms of institutional investors who have global bond funds and are overweight in the JGBs just because there were more of them around than anything else, and some of the Japanese investment institutions that have big positions in there, as I mentioned in a report that I posted today, their selling into this weak market may prevent a bear squeeze from some of the hedge fund shorts for a while longer, but we'll see. It'll be interesting. I remain a mega bear of the JGBs, so it's slightly embarrassing not to have a position there at the moment. Okay, now on currencies, not a lot in here today. So, David, what was all the action about that you were saying was so interesting? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But small change here, the euro, which got hit against the dollar yesterday, was up a bit in here today. But what's really happened is the rally that's taken place in the supply inelasticity trades. Now let's start with least. And that was gold up 430 at 388.95 as I speak in after hours trading. We're up a bit in palladium to 227, which I hold. Gold shares responded well today. Newmont Mining, for instance, where I rolled over a position that I've been holding for quite some time. It certainly hasn't been doing anything for me recently, as you know, to put it mildly. But good act. Well, it gave up some of that gain here towards the close. It was only at 56 cents. It was up about a dollar earlier on. But nevertheless, it's firming up here, as all these shares are. But it's not so much the shares that are getting the action in here. Now, silver. Silver had a good charge here, closed at 5.92 and a half on the July contract. That was up 20 cents in here today. So those little the runes yesterday that I posted on the website, especially that JIP chart showing the intraday trades over 5 days, proved to be a useful little clue in here today. But what actually triggered it? Well, it wasn't any of these markets. It was actually nickel, and I've posted that chart today. You may recall I've mentioned on a number of occasions that I regard nickel as a lead indicator, and I won't review all that because you can see it in my little piece on nickel and on the charts. But it's powering ahead in here today, and whereas people, well, they really took fright, to put it mildly, having run those metals up, and then there were the big shakeouts for everything but tin, really. And that had a little bit of a late hit earlier in the month. But people were very twitchy and nervous about those, and all talking about the China story. And currently, though, people are looking at, well, first the stockpiles, which continue to decline for most of these metals. And then they're also looking at the strength of the U.S. economy and saying that that's going to help demand. But I read it more as just a change in sentiment here. And what's certainly a factor behind this is all the liquidity sloshing around. Well, where's the liquidity going to go? It's not deflation that we have to fear right here and now, during the second half of this year, whereas we do know that the inflation pressures are building up once again. And with all that liquidity sloshing around, and knowing that the interest rate hikes are going to come, which incidentally won't do commodities any great favors, but at any rate, as volatile sentiment moves, it's moving towards the supply inelasticity trades here once again. And I may have to increase my long positions in this area. I've been loath to do so because the patterns didn't have any trend consistency, and really the best we could say is that they had lost downside momentum, and a number of them looked as if they might be putting on small little bases here for a further rally or rally up into the top areas that we had seen earlier on in the year. But if a few of these lift and some of the patterns are firm, I could establish positions and play stops underneath. I may well be tempted into that, even though I said that I didn't want to open any more trades. I wanted to close some trades down, as I just well, in anticipation of my holiday, my longish holiday in August. But I may rethink that, and really, I would almost certainly play some of the backwardation situations that are around. And copper might well be a candidate, but I've got to think about it a little more overnight. Okay, what else can I say in this sector to tell you about that's quite important? The one that I do own, lead, which I've held for quite a while now, had another good day in here, up 19 to 827 on the 3 months position. Cash lead is at 870, so that's still working. I was saying earlier on in the week that I might take that out if it pushed back up into the sort of 830s where we had seen it previously. Of course, that option should be still on the table, but given the firmness that I've seen today, again, that'll encourage me probably to hold on to it a little longer, although I may raise the stop a bit, which I've got down at 750. Now, also tin. Tin was firmer in here today. It's below where I was stopped out at a minimal profit. At closed 3 months, tin closed at 8750, up $175. But that's one of the ones that has rounded around, so it would be easy to see where to actually place a stop. And then looking around the supply inelasticity trades, it's been pretty much hit and miss here, really short term. As you know, well, who wants to take the bad one first? I bought some of those soybeans, as you know, was it during the beginning of the month or late last month, and they did nothing but go straight down from that point. I've been resisting the temptation to pick up a little more in here. Fortunately, it was a small position and it dropped back down to a prior support level, which is why I haven't, say, cut that loss. And it's chopping. It's still in a backwardation overall. But then the natural gas, I did pick that up, as you know, and or I doubled up my position. And on that recent setback, then that had the good key. You can see that chart on the website today. Well, it's run up for 5 or 6 straight days, and so I took advantage of the earlier strength and closed out half of my position today on the basis that in these choppy markets, one really shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth, to coin a phrase. And I put an in-the-money stop in the market to, so effectively, it's very difficult for me to lose money on the remaining position unless there was some huge gap downwards between the close and the opening. So I've got an in-the-money stop protecting the rest of the position. Now, in my energy trades, and I've had a number of them here in recent months, unfortunately they've all been profitable. And I started in crude oil, but then I switched to natural gas because it was less political. As you know, I've been a number of trades there. But I've done two different things. I've bought on strength within the uptrend and quickly found that position in a loss. And I've also bought on setbacks within the trend and have quickly found those positions in profit. So it's a bit of a no-brainer in terms of which is the better strategy. But that does very much require the integrity of the overall trend to be maintained. Now, it lost a little bit of consistency on a short-term basis recently, but if I look at the weekly chart, and apologies for mentioning that and not having posted it, I may well post that tomorrow, but when I look at the weekly chart, it's very powerful in terms of the build-up of support. So I'm thus going to stick more to my strategy, I think, of just picking up the natural gas on its setbacks and hope we continue to get a ranging trend there. Now, nickel, I mentioned the strong move. Well, you probably saw the chart of it, but that was up over $1,000 in here today, pushing up to 1,095, actually, pushing up to $1,400. So I say that's what I think is really galvanized people's attention as far as the supply and elasticity trades are concerned. Now, I believe that nickel is still the biggest metal in terms of turnover here, and it's certainly an important, influential one. As I say, I've often referred to it as a lead indicator. So this is very interesting. Now, having talked about all that liquidity sloshing around the system, and then people getting interested in the metals once again, that wouldn't explain the bond rally, but to me that's short covering following the dynamic, and I don't think that bond rally can last all that long. I'm talking about the Treasury bond rally, but point against my positions, if it is liquidity that's behind this rally, then that may cause my shorts, my stock market shorts, to suffer a little bit here. But well, we'll see. I've preferred to play the energy situation in the commodities. As you know, I find them safer in the shares and they perform better and I like the leverage and so on. But that said, have a look at that chart of the Investec Global Energy Fund. I posted that in here again today. And that's very, very steady overall. If you wanted to buy, having mentioned the natural gas, I was talking to Stephen Mitchell again today, one of our analysts here, working particularly on the UK market, and he's good because he's got the charts, but he also understands the fundamental background. He's interested in the fundamental background. You know, a lot of technicians, they just say, "Well, don't bother me. Don't confuse me with the facts. I just want to see the price action." And they're They're either disinterested or too lazy to look at the background. Well, that doesn't apply to Stephen Mitchell. And he said, look at British Gas, and it's got a great chart. If I, having said I wasn't going to buy any more shares, I'm more interested in Lightning shares. If I were to buy any shares in here, British Gas would be high on my list among the energy plays. And Stephen says that it's a perennial takeover candidate as well. That doesn't hurt, does it? Okay, last but not least in here, orange juice. You know, I've been talking about that, saying this is so depressed. Well, it really does look like orange juice is getting going now, because first it had leveled out. I'll put this chart up. I'll try to remember to do this tomorrow. I know that not a whole lot of you being interested in this, but well, you never know. Never know. In the commodity trades, loads and loads of overhead supply, so this is not a supply and elasticity situation. Plenty of orange juice around. But it's in the price, judging from the technical evidence in here. And I'd been mentioning that over the last couple of months, we've been seeing some upward dynamics, but they were kind of one-day wonders. But that you sometimes get that as a market is approaching an important low, or you get the downward dynamics coming in, some markets approaching an important high. I mentioned that in terms of the NASDAQ before, and comparing it to orange juice. When the NASDAQ, at the beginning of the year 2000, I think from late January onwards, it was starting to get these key day reversals on the downside, but they were one-day wonders. But they were the warning shots across the bow that supply was coming into the market. And the upside dynamics that we've seen in juice over the last couple of months, beginning, and they were, again, one-day wonders, but they were indicating that demand was beginning to come back into the market, and I felt this is a candidate for a short squeeze. We had the big upward dynamic 2 days ago. Yesterday it just held steady, and up at 90 cents in here today to 57.80. I might have to buy a little of that in here tomorrow. It certainly won't be a whole lot, but it's a technical signal, and I usually go for those things. Have an excellent evening.